So has anyone been up into the canyons recently? We're having canyon worship next Sunday at Spruces in Big Cottonwood. Isn't it amazing how you can go up there and it's like 10 degrees cooler? This year has been such a scary one with climate change, hasn't it? With these extreme weather events like heat waves and floods that seem to be worse this year than ever before. It's so important that we, while paying attention to what is going on, make sure that we give our souls a break from the heat and from the worry, and just find a place where we can be comfortable outdoors in nature, even if just for a few hours. So I hope you will join us at Canyon Worship next Sunday. Have you ever wondered why the hottest days of summer are called the dog days? So I always thought it was because we lie around like dogs, panting in the heat in July and August, but actually it's because for the ancient Greeks, in their pagan culture, July and August was the time when the dog star Sirius rose in their night sky. It was a very holy time of year for them because the summer planting would begin showing its signs of impending bounty. And yet, the harvest was not yet guaranteed. So this was a time when, if you were an ancient pagan farmer, you needed to get all the good fortune you could from the stars or gods or whoever you prayed to be blessed with a good harvest come fall. As these ancient farmers watched over their developing fields, they lived in a holy awareness that they lived at the mercy of forces larger than themselves, that they were part of the sacred web of life. Today in our industrialized world of air conditioning, thank God for air conditioning, I think our daily dependence on nature is a little bit less clear. But while we may no longer feel that sense of daily reliance on God for protection from the elements or other forces of nature, we do still tend to want things from God, whether we're aware of it or not. A 2002 book called Promise of the Soul, Identifying and Healing Your Spiritual Agreements by Dennis Kenney, calls the things that we want from God or the universe spiritual agreements. So I think many of us have moved on in our spiritual lives from the idea that when we pray or behave in a certain good way, that God will spit blessings back at us like a vending machine. But still, many of us do carry core desires about what we hope God will do in our lives. And this can apply too if you don't believe in a capital G God. It can be about anything you look toward the universe or the transcendent to be for you. So in his research, Kenny found that most people tend to fall into three categories of spiritual agreements. And these are based on personality types that are learned in childhood. So if you lean toward feeling dependent on other people, you will likely want a God who is warm and loving. The images of God you may be attracted to are anything that helps you feel held and loved. On the other hand, if you lean more toward wanting to be independent from other people, you may crave more to share in the control and the power that God has. So your images of God may be more things that give you a share of God's power over others, things that make you feel brave or in control. And then there's also a minority of people, and we may have more of these types in our type of church than elsewhere, but there are some who pretty much only crave truth from the universe. If this is you, you may find yourself longing not so much for divine love or divine aid, but for greater knowledge and understanding. If this is you, it may be that images speaking to God's wisdom are what stand out for you. So take a moment to think about it. Do you want God to be a strong hand that can pick you up and set the world to rights? Do you want a God who is able to place power at your service? Or do you crave a God who will just gather you into their loving arms? When you pray, do you want to hear that everything is okay? Do you want to be held and rocked tenderly? That tends to be where my spiritual agreement shows up. Or do you just really feel that all you need to be a person of faith is to be growing in understanding of the divine, and all you find yourself craving are just better answers? What do you want from God? In our gospel story today, a person approached Jesus wanting help and aid from God, or at least from God's law. And it's interesting here because as Jesus does sometimes, he basically just straight up refuses to help. And instead, he tells a parable with a lesson for all of us, all who were listening, to try to be rich toward God. What does that mean? It's kind of weird grammatically, right? Rich toward God. It's not reach toward God. It's be rich toward God. If Dennis Kenny's research is correct, all of us would like to get rich from God in one way or another, to receive a share of divine power, love, and knowledge as we are able and as our personality wants. But what if, in the words of Jesus, we became rich toward God instead? What if instead of approaching God always wanting, always in need, what if we approached God with wonder, curiosity, awe, and listened closely to what the universe might be wanting us to do? Our scripture from the prophet Hosea today gives us a very confusing but also powerful and curious image of God. God as a fierce lion, powerful and loving, all-knowing, but strangely vulnerable. Hosea's description of God is non-binary in gender. This is a lion who roars and frightens like a stereotypical powerful father, and is the very same lion that leads and feeds her children like the stereotypical nurturing mother. Sort of like our Egyptian goddess Sekhmet, this god overcomes the spectrum of gender stereotypes, uniting love and discipline, strength and tenderness, kindness and fierceness. And Hosea's God even defies an easy categorization of human, animal, or divine. Furthermore, this lion God changes and evolves their approach over the course of their parental relationship with Israel, as all parental relationships must evolve and change as the child grows from infant to toddler to child and finally to teenager. In so doing, this lion god confounds Israel's expectation of a rescue when times get rough. So in Hosea, the people are crying out to any god or higher power who might be listening to save and fix them. And if they don't get a rescue, they will question God's love. To this demand, no helpful answer is given. Yet God is present. God may refuse to deliver like an idol or a vending machine, but still this God clings to Israel's side, hovering with desperate love over the child who grows and stumbles as they learn how to walk away from their parents. Friends, despite our recent hopeful good news about a possible climate change bill coming through the Senate, sometimes it seems to me that climate change may be the end of our story on this planet. But Hosea calls us to ask, what if human beings are still just in the infancy of our potential as a species? God certainly does seem to relate to us as children who are growing, maturing, finding our own way, and learning from the consequences of our actions. Ultimately, I think what we really need from the divine life is not the weapon that can fix or discipline us, or the love potion that can soothe and pacify us, or a rule book that explains it all and tells us whether or not we're right. What I need, and what humans will always need, is a God who calls out to us from the horizon of a better way of life. Brian McLaren, who many of us appreciate, has a new book out called Do I Stay Christian? A Guide for the Doubters, the Disappointed, and the Disillusioned. It's a great book, and I'll spoil it. He doesn't actually answer that question for you, but he gives arguments both for leaving Christianity and staying. And then he says this most wonderful thing, and I've adapted it a little. Brian McLaren says, I don't need a constricted Christian worldview that teaches me to see the world as a machine and God as the almighty engineer who created it and now tinkers with it. What I need is the hopeful striving I experience in the universe around me. I sense that the whole universe itself is filled with the spirit that is brooding, gestating, laboring, becoming, yearning, learning, reaching, like a plant growing toward the light, like a salmon leaping up rapids toward a life-giving telos, or like a lifeless planet undergoing metamorphosis from a volcanic hell to an Eden full of emerald rainforests and shimmering coral reefs. We have only to look around us in this living planet to find those vibrant and vital and living images of the divine needed for today, for this moment. Humanity still needs the Bible's perplexing lion God, whether we're relating to that God as a Christian, as a Jew, as an Egyptian, or a pagan. We need a God who loves us like a mother, who teaches us how to walk, who roars at us when we are going the wrong way, who calls us away from the path of self-destruction, And this is important. We need a God who can do all this while refusing to take the heat for us so that we get to learn the consequences of our actions. How lucky we are to have a great parent, a spirit who will coach us, who shows us how to stand up on trembling feet and spread out trembling wings and return to who we were created to be as a species. I think this is how we strive to be rich toward God, as we run as fast as we can toward the way that leads to life. As followers of Jesus, let us commit ourselves anew to one another and to the call to heal injustice and poverty.